Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. We're very glad you all have chosen to worship with us today. Please remember to sign the registry at the end of each pew and pass it down, and to also check your bulletin for announcements. We do have several announcements this morning. First of all, we have people celebrating birthdays this week, both Esther and Wayne. Happy birthday to you. Birthday, dear Esther and Wayne. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. It is time to update the church directory. Please use the directory update form in the pew racks to inform us of your current address, phone number, email, etc. And please do not assume that what we have on file is correct. Thanks to everyone for keeping us well informed. The community Thanksgiving service will be tonight at 6 o'clock at St. Paul's Catholic Church. There is a sign-up sheet for poinsettias in the narthex. They are $12 this year, with the proceeds benefiting the Smithville Band. Next Sunday, we will not be having Sunday school. Again, next Sunday, we will not be having Sunday school. The adults will, I should.
And the high school class will.
All right. I'll check with your Sunday school teacher for further. The annual Advent readings from the Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary are available in the narthex. Please be sure to pick up a copy. And there will be a congregational meeting on December 5th to elect elders and to approve a budget. Again, that will be December 5th. I now pass.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship, which you will find in your bulletin. O come, let us sing unto God. Let us make noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise with songs of praise.
Let us worship God. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We come into your courts with praise, O God, and sing in glad adoration. You fill the temple with your majestic presence. We bow in awe at the sight of your holiness. Your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, as in Christ we shall dwell in your house forever. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 106 in the Green Hymnal, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Now have our minute for mission.
We're going to begin with Hoyt, who is reporting from the Buildings and Grounds Committee, and they have been busy. Laverne from our mission committee.
Well, Hoyt spoke from his handheld notes. I can't remember. The local mission that we go to the Ministerial Alliance here in Smithville and in Bastrop. We support different functions with the Ministerial Alliance. We support them with donations from the church. Then we also support Sunday, and in December is the Christmas Joy, which is, we're going to start this Sunday. There's a pamphlet in your brochure in your pamphlet, and it will be for the next four Sundays. And then on December the 19th, there'll be an envelope, and that's when if you feel like to have a special offering to the Christmas Joy offering. Then our outreach, we get advertisements to the Smithville Times and the Best Rock advertiser. We just did a calendar that's recently come out, a community calendar that shows all the events. We do advertisements on fundraiser, Christmas service, Christmas Eve service, and the musical. All of this that I've mentioned is cost money. And whenever you do your budget, think about this, and we appreciate it if you could. I know everything is tough now. They're all, but whenever you do your support your team, pledge. Thank you for the words there, Jane. I couldn't make a pledge. Just think how much all of this costs for the church. We thank you for that.
The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please. Loving God, we confess that we have been more like thorn bushes than oaks of righteousness. We sometimes repel rather than attract others to the gospel. Pride and deceit fill our days more than grace and peace. We tire of satisfying the poor with bread and upholding the covenant and decrees you have offered us. We turn away from your anointed one, questioning his role in history and his relevance for us. We admit that our inner faith battles are often the screen we use to keep from facing our sin, admitting our guilt, and seeking reconciliation. Open our eyes, heal our open wounds, and embrace us in your love, that we might be forgiven. Amen. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending of all that is and yet will be. You are known. You are loved. You are forgiven. Know that you belong to the truth that comes from God, and be at peace.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. that we start off really with the holiday of, what is our holiday?
Thanksgiving,
in which we start to give thanks. And you know, then comes Christmas, and gosh, there's so many advertisements for new toys and new clothes and new games and new this and new that, that we sometimes forget to be thankful for what we have. So I have something, a little image today that I want to use. Somebody was busy at my house yesterday, that's for sure. Making donuts. Now I'm going to use this donut. I'm not going to eat this donut. But I'm going to show this donut as kind of an image about life. And the little ditty that I want you to learn, Lydia, is as we go through life, let me have this goal to look at the donut and not the hole. Okay. Now sometimes we get to focusing on the things we don't have, and we forget to be thankful for all that we do have. Sometimes we say, Lydia, that some adults see the glass half full, while other adults see the same glass half empty. In other words, they're looking at what they don't have and what their neighbors have that they want, and they don't become thankful every day for what they do have. So that's what the donut represents. All that we do have, let's focus on that and be sure we don't just focus on the whole. Okay? So, Lydia, because you were here today, you get your pick of your donut to take. And then your friends sitting next to you, they're going to get to pick one too. So, they're all pretty good, I think. They're all pretty good. So, all of my young at heart friends as well. And anybody else who, see, I always hope we have 12. And the day that I wouldn't be prepared is the day we wouldn't have 12. So, actually, like someone like you, Mr. Gosling, if you want to take some home to your and grandchildren that are coming, if you would please see me after the service today. So let's say a prayer together. This is my prayer. Dear God, we have been blessed by you in so many ways. Help us through your Holy Spirit to focus our thoughts on what we do have and not what we don't have. Thank you for your love and your life known to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lydia and friends. And I'll see anybody in the back who wants a little confection.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do, to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And join me in a reading from the New Testament. Colossians 1:11-20. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The next hymn is, number 480 in the green hymnal.
Be seated. And I invite you now to continue to listen for the word of the Lord as I read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. This is Zechariah's response upon the birth of his son John. You'll remember that Zacharias had been struck dumb for the time that he had said to the angel who said, "You're going to be a father." And he said, "What?" And the angel Gabriel said to him, "You're not going to be able to speak until after your son is born." And they wanted to name the boy Zechariah after his father. And his mother said, "No, his name will be John." And Zechariah wrote on a piece of paper, "His name shall be called John." And at that point, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The people had waited centuries for a king. No one alive could remember anything except living in fear of the great powers that had overrun their homeland. But there were stories of another time, a time when things were different, when their people all prospered and were respected among the neighboring nations. And there was the great promise of the long-dead prophets echoing through the despair of the ages, a promise of a king like those of old, a king who would deliver them from their oppressors, who would establish a new kingdom. And upon the miraculous birth of his son John, Zechariah the priest began to recall the ancient prophecies. Finally, there just might be a cause for celebration. God has visited and redeemed our people. We will be saved from our enemies. We will once again be able to serve God without fear of others. My son will go to prepare the way, he proclaimed. Zechariah was right, and he was wrong. And in time, wise men from the east followed a great star to see the infant king. They brought gifts fit for royalty. And they finally arrived in the region. They did what anyone would have done. They went to the royal palaces to find him. Not only was he not there, but no one could tell them where he might be. They were right, and they were wrong. Years passed. John, known then as the Baptist, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, saw his cousin approaching him one day and proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And yet, just a short time later, as John sat in prison awaiting death, he wasn't so sure. He sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Or shall we look for another?" John was right, and John was wrong. And so it has continued throughout the ages. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus announced to his disciples. But where? Like Zechariah and the wise men, like John and the early disciples, and all the others too, we also go looking for the kingdom in all the wrong places. We want to be impressed, to be awed even. Jesus will show everyone who's boss. He will put evildoers in their place and reward his friends. And in Colossians 1, Paul breaks into a hymn that describes Jesus' relationship to God, to the universe, and to the church. Jesus, a man who was tortured and killed by the Romans. Why would anyone who was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, through whom all things were created, tolerate such treatment? What kind of a king, more importantly, what kind of God would allow mere mortals to treat him with such contempt? None we humans could imagine. After all, what kind of king is born in a stable to impoverished parents, or prefers the power of love to the power of strength? What kind of king talks about being last when you're first? What kind of king seeks to serve rather than be served? What kind of king gives up everything for the sake of people who hate him? What kind of king would do all that and more and yet still expect people to follow him? Admit it. It doesn't make any more sense to us than it did to all the others. Just as it left them, it leaves us sometimes unsure, confused, and unsettled, because this kingdom about which Jesus spoke was like nothing we can imagine. The disciples, to the wise men, to Zechariah and John, to us, it is a difficult concept because it doesn't look like anything we think a kingdom should look. Disney makes sure in their Magic Kingdom everything is perfect, or at least what visitors see. But that is fantasy. That's not God's perfection. Because in God's kingdom, none of the pieces fit where we think they should. To us, it is all very strange. It is an unexpected kingdom. And that's the point. Incarnation was about things being different. Totally, completely different. An entirely new reality. Nothing like what anyone expected. So if the disciples and the wise men and Zechariah and John, people who knew firsthand what it meant to call someone Lord and Master and King, if they couldn't see this unexpected kingdom where Jesus, the poor carpenter turned rabbi, was king, how can we possibly hope to see it? We who have no idea about a kingdom, no real experience of one. Is there any way we can truly recognize who Jesus is? The good news is yes. Yes, there is a way. There are ways. Not that we will understand fully or even most of what this strange, unexpected kingdom will look like, because we can't. And it's not just because we're democracy-loving Americans. It's for the same reason the others couldn't. It is a kingdom that has come to us, but is not of us. And because it has come to us and is coming to us and will come to us, we can open ourselves up to the work of the Holy Spirit as it reveals this strange new kingdom to us. Signs of this kingdom are around us even now. And this morning I want to invite you to open yourself up to them in this coming Advent season. Now, some of the signs may be more easily detected, like joy in the eyes of a child, or the steadfast assurance of another's love, or perhaps the peace of a candlelit sanctuary. But some signs may be quite surprising, startling even, and I suspect that there may be some that will be altogether unexpected, because God wants to reveal God's self to us. But it is God's practice to do that in ways that are quite unexpected. Yet it is through those improbable, unexpected revelations that we begin to see with the eyes of our souls and to know in our heart of hearts that the Christ in the manger and the Christ on the cross is truly and always Christ the King. And when we begin to see that, when we get those glimpses, we can proclaim with a new understanding that indeed Jesus is Lord. But be warned, having had a glimpse of the realm Jesus describes, we can never again be completely satisfied with the way things are. Never be completely deterred from emulating, perhaps even actualizing, the kingdom of God in our midst. Because if we believe that Christian faith isn't just allegiance to a new king, but rather is the entrance into an entirely new realm, then who knows what God might expect from us? No longer can we keep our faith a private affair and ignore the need of our neighbor. No longer can we sing robust and rousing hymns about God's glory and majesty and ignore the plight of God's good earth. No longer will we be able to pray that God's kingdom come and yet manage our wealth as if it actually belonged rather than was entrusted to us. And no longer will we be able to relegate the realm of God to a comfortably distant future? The realm and rule of God is all around us, calling us to live by its vision and values even now. Certainly, that is cause for real celebration, and for letting our thanks be to God this day, this week, and always. Amen. Let us stand now and say what we believe using the words from the Apostles' Creed found on page 14 of the Blue Hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to pray as I give voice to our prayers this morning. O Lord our God, guide us this day. Help us to truly welcome you as King and Master of our lives. And not only of our lives, but of this realm, this kingdom that you came to announce. This kingdom that is even with us. We stop and pay attention. Give us a heart that can see and hear the signs of this kingdom, that will give us joy, that will convict us, that will comfort us, that will lead us into places we never expected to go. We give you thanks this day for the opportunity for this community to gather together in worship this evening, as other communities will be doing. It's a reminder that there are times when we need to set aside those differences with our brothers and sisters and recognize the one true unifying force, and that is our desire to follow your Son. We lift up those who are ill this day, who struggle with varying stages of disability and disease. We ask that you strengthen them, that you make your presence known to them in a particular way. We lift up those who care for them, as we lift up those who, wherever they are, put themselves in harm's way for people they don't even know, to serve and to protect, to deal with things most of us would rather not have to deal with. We give you thanks that even with the flaws that we see in so much of our culture, there is still a time when we recognize that thanks are due. That it is from your hand that all good things come, and that it is your desire to bless your people. Open our hearts in gratitude and help us to respond by being your people in this time and in this place, helping those who cannot see to somehow catch a glimpse of your kingdom. We make our request known to you this day in the name of your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let our offerings be a joyous outpouring of thanksgiving to God, who deals wondrously with us. Out of gratitude, we respond to the needs of people nearby and far away who long for a crust of bread, need a cup of pure water. Let us return to God our tithes and offerings. Let time be blessed by your presence. Let skills enrich the life of humankind. Receive what we bring as offerings to you. Make use of them and of us. For the sake of your holy gospel. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 342, Rejoice the Lord is King.